This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and the party's just beginning. I'm your host, Deb Wolf, and I like a hostess gift. when you visit, if you bring your dog, when you come to my party, you should always poop scoop after. Yes, wherever you go, wherever you take your dog, poop scoop. Don't leave it behind. Don't leave it for people to say, oh, we should stop letting dogs here. Look at the mess they make. Don't leave that. Scoop it up. All right. So I have so many emails from you people, including this one, which I like. So we're going to do this one first, and then I'm going to get to some of the news. Like Maduro, did you know he had pets? I know they've commented a lot about that, about how the CIA was watching his pets. Well, yes, he did. He did have pets, and I'm going to tell you about that. And let's see, what else? I've got a few. Most popular pet names in Canada this year, in 2025. And actually, one of them is also the most popular pet name for, it's for dogs and cats in Canada and America, number one name, which I would say, if you're getting a puppy or a kitten or a dog or a cat, don't name it this, and I'll tell you why later. Okay, so do dogs sense bad people? Somebody asked me that on Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook, so I want to respond to it. Do dogs sense bad people? Okay, well, dogs sense a lot of things, a lot of things. They sense aggression. If they have any exposure at all to impairment and the connection between like drunkenness and violence, then they will pick up on that habit. They will sense that, uh-oh, trouble brewing, that person's drinking again. So they can sense, it almost seems like they can predict, because they will see someone drinking and remember the last time they drank, they were violent or aggressive or even clumsy. If you're a little dog and somebody gets clumsy when they're tipsy or just a little too cuddly and you're a tiny cat, you may just scatter when you see the wine come out. No bad intention, no abuse, just, you know, self-protection. So there are some things that dogs do sense that aren't necessarily trouble. But if you're talking about a stranger, so you shake the hand of someone you're trying to buy a car from and your dog starts growling at them uncharacteristically, would I still buy the car? I don't think so. I had one case where I learned about this. The dog was a dog I looked after, and he was an adolescent Great Dane. And the people used to say to me, we don't think, it was big black dog, Kramer, he was called, giant in the end. But they used to say to me, he loves everybody. We don't think he'd ever protect us. And I would say to them, oh, no, no, no. I'm really glad I'm meeting him now while he's young, because at some point he's not going to want to know new people. And they were like, oh, come on. He's so friendly. Okay. And then they said, and we worry that we've introduced him to so many people. If any of these people tried to rob us, he would let them right in. And I said, no, do not worry. This is not the breed that does that. Please. Anyhow, years, maybe 5 months later, the dog wasn't even two yet, which is adult for a Great Dane. So to my mind, he was still adolescent, but he was probably about 6 feet on two legs. Later, he was taller. Anyway, when he put his paws on my shoulders, which he liked to do, he was way taller than me. I mean, I wasn't even looking at his chest. I was looking at his tummy. So way taller, and I'm 5'2". But he used to do that when I would try and clip his nails just to prove a point. Like, I'm letting you do this, but I don't have to. Anyway, so the people next door were friendly with them. And one night they hear this bang on the door, and it's really late at night, and the dog is going bananas, absolutely bananas, growling, barking, freaking out, going all along the side of the house and then to the front door. And they hear this bang in the door, and they're not sure they should open it. They're about to open it, and they hear a familiar voice, their next door neighbor, say, I need to come in and use your phone. I need help. And lucky for the owner, at that moment, The dog literally placed his body between the door and the owner and would not let him open the door. And he tried. The dog was like, no, you're not opening this door. And the dog's probably 180 pounds now, but very determined. And, you know, he had that ability to spread his legs like Bambi and very fast, strong dog. Anyway, guy couldn't get the door open. So he yelled back to his neighbor, I'm sorry, I just can't get open the door. I don't know what's wrong with Kramer. I can't open the door. And the guy said, I need you to call the police. I just killed my wife. Now, it turns out he didn't kill his wife, but something terrible had happened and the police had to be called. The wife was okay, but the man in the state he was in, even though the dog knew the guy, even though he'd been taught to like him because he didn't want them barking at the neighbor, in this particular instance, the dog overrode commands, overrode all. Did he sense aggression? Oh, yeah. Did he hear what was going on next door? Probably. Would I open the door if my dog was trying to stop me and he was normally friendly? I would not open the door. So sometimes, yes, dogs sense bad people. Okay, so here's another aspect to this. Can dogs sense bad people? I know this is a long answer, but there's so many levels to this. Dogs smell us. So when you get excited, you smell a little different. Happy excited, like, surprise, I just gave you a present, or I brought you flowers. That's happy excited. Or, oh my God, the cat's escaped. That's worried excited. Those are two different smells to your dog. Okay, and freaking out excited, like, oh my God, the upstairs is on fire. Help, help, grandma's upstairs. Okay, that's a whole other level of smells, right? And your dog knows the difference between all of those. Plus, your dog can hear your heartbeat. Your dog, there's so much they're hearing and smelling in you that will tip them off to whether you're stressed out about a stranger. So that's one aspect. Now, do dogs sense bad people? Okay, so when a person wants to do some harm to you or is feeling secretive or is hiding something, oftentimes a dog will be able to pick up on what on different signs, like they talk a little quicker, their heart beats a little faster, they smell a little different. All the kinds of things that would happen to you when you're nervous, your dog recognizes this. And now he thinks to himself, well, my owner's really relaxed and friendly. Why is this other person pretending to be friendly, but actually isn't? That is suspicious. So can dogs pick up on suspicious behavior? Absolutely. Oh yeah, all day long, very fast, from a distance. Now, could that be just because the person's scared of dogs and your dog's sitting there on a leash? Maybe. I mean, a suspicion doesn't necessarily mean the person's out to get you. It could be they're afraid of you or afraid of your dog, right? So you kind of have to interpret these things when you see them. Just because your dog maybe is a little cagey around a person doesn't mean that person's out to do you harm. If the person then says, oh, I'd like to pet your dog, but I'm really scared of dogs. Okay, well, now you got your answer, right? And you can work with that. But will your dog tip you off to something out of sorts with strangers? Yes. Will your dog be able to smell on somebody else fear or pain or adrenaline from another person or another animal? Absolutely. Here's another example. Years ago, I used to be very close with Dr. Goldberg, this veterinarian, and we would go different places. And at the time, I was a dog walker, pet sitter, you know, dog trainer, all that. And he was a veterinarian. And so the two of us were constantly around dogs and cats. We had dogs and cats ourselves. He had a border collie, and I can't remember the cat's name. And I was running this business, so I had multiple dogs and cats and, you know, in and out of my life. And more importantly, on our shoes, right? He had his, I think they were like the Birkenstock sort of surgery clogs that doctors used to wear. And I had the hiking boots that I would take my dogs walking in. And our shoes always smelled like dogs, for sure. But when they smelled my shoes, new dogs, strange dogs, dogs I'd meet in a parking lot or at a hike or in a park or even at the vet, because I used to be the night attendant there sometimes, even at the vet, when I was in the clinic, dogs would smell my shoes and they would relax and they would get happy and their tails would start to wag. And sometimes they'd come right up and try and like cuddle with me, greet me. They'd start talking to me. They'd get all animated and silly, you know? Okay, His reaction? Not the same. Dogs would still want to smell him, but they would kind of edge forward and then edge backward and then edge forward and then edge backward. And sometimes they'd wee a little bit. They were nervous. They could smell something else. Now, we both smelt like clinic. I was in and out of the clinic all the time with those shoes. So it wasn't the medicine. It wasn't the clinic. It was something else that was going on. And I'm pretty sure it was fear. It was the fear of the animals he was dealing with because he's the doctor and they're in pain and he has to help them, but they're not sure he's going to. And there's a lot that goes on with that, just like when you go to the dentist. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back. I'm Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Did you wonder what kind of pets Maduro had? Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Well, first I'm going to tell you the popular names. Popular names. I'm going to save number one for last. Because number one is the most popular dog and cat name for both species in North America, Canada, and America, and United States last year in 2025, based on this company, life insurance company, and how many pets were registered. So you could say that this is indicative of pets who are insured. So it's not the general pet population, right? It's the people, the pets who are fortunate enough to have pet health insurance. And so maybe you would even say the pampered pets. But here are the names. So for the dogs, number two is Daisy. Three is Charlie. Four is Milo. And I do not like that name. I'll tell you why later. And five is Teddy. Like all those names. The only problem with them is everybody else's dog is called the same thing. So when you go to the park and you yell, Charlie, your dog can conveniently pretend you're not talking to him because three other people are yelling Charlie. And when you yell Charlie, you may not get your dog. You may get somebody else's. So not a good name right now. All right. So now down to the cats. Interesting. Number one name for cats. Again, I do not like this name. Well, this is number two, actually. Number two in Canada last year, 2025 in Canada. Number two name, Milo. Number three name, Leo. Number four name, Loki, which means wolf. So that's kind of cool. I don't know why they would do that. Number four, Willow. Okay, so now you're wondering what the number one name is. Can you guess? Well, I sure can. I can because of my Rolodex, yes. It's not really a Rolodex anymore. It's a computer, but it sort of looks like a Rolodex on the screen. Anyway, it's Luna. Luna, which is a perfectly good name because in a pinch you can call her Loon, and it doesn't rhyme with anything you don't. There's some foreshadowing there. It doesn't rhyme with anything you don't want your dog or cat to hear when you're calling them, like the word no. Milo. It's not as bad as Bruno, okay? Because Bruno. The dog thinks his name's Brew, and you're always scolding him. Doesn't work. Change that dog's name to Brew or Bruna, and all of a sudden the dog's coming. So Luna's a perfectly good name from the sound of it. The problem is all the cats and dogs last year were named that, and it wasn't exactly unpopular the year before. So you're going to get a lot of dogs coming to when you call Luna. And when you go to the vet or anywhere and you say, hi, I'm here with Luna, the groomer. Anywhere, they're going to be like, oh, God, the L file. just like it used to be Max and Molly. Okay, so before that, it was Rocky and Rambo. I mean, these things come in trends, but you definitely want to be different. So try to be different. All right, well, Maduro's pets, they're not called Luna. They're not called Milo. They're not called Daisy. None of that. And I think I'll make you wait one more break to hear about what pets he had. All right, so now I'm going to tell you about something that happened to me that was a little bit of a backfire. And I heard from my producer that he had something similar happen years ago, where the cats and the dogs of the house would gang up. They'd plot something together. So the cat would get up into the cupboard and knock the potato chip bag or something he wanted down. And then the dog would open them and the two of them would share whatever treat it was. Very, very, very clever. All right. So my dogs, sometimes, all of them, I have four, and sometimes they chase my cats. Sometimes. Now, normally, if I say no, they don't. If I say be nice, they don't. And when they're upstairs, any part of the house that's the bedrooms, they never chase the cats. But down in their main area of the house, there's a gate to the upstairs in the stairway. And there's a little tiny cutout of a cat silhouette in it at the bottom. And the cats come and go through there. And it has a door. I can close that if I want. But it's usually open and the cats come and go through there. And the dogs are obsessed with watching that. Because they're retrievers and they're made to, you know, they've been bred for years to flush prey out, find it, flag it, point at it, tell you it's there, and then go get it for you, right? So that's what they're doing. They're very excited by, is there a cat? Is there a cat? Is there a cat? And my old dog, Prancing Cinnamon Teddy Bear, when he was around, he didn't care if the cat was sitting right beside him or on a stool right beside him or on the floor, anywhere walking around. But a cat beyond that cat door, a cat in the hole, was let, he couldn't take his eyes off it. Get so excited. Look, you know, adrenaline going, look, the cat. So there's something going on with that. So the other day, two of my dogs, a poodle called Polka Dot Dazzle, and her daughter, Peachy, were sort of cat chasing. They kind of lunged at this cat door. You know, like a mock chase. They could stick their head through and catch a cat, but they didn't do that. And they weren't trying to nip it or bite it, but they were just not nice, right? And I told them already once, not, you know, hey, knock it off, because I could see they were being a little too excited by the cat door. I said, come on, knock it off. And then they were being nice, and there was a fire going, so the cats want to come in and sit by the fire. And then they weren't nice. So I kicked them out. Well, Dorita, my golden doodle, who's 1 year older than them, 1 year older than Polka, she saw all this. And she was like, well, I'm not going to chase them. No. Mom likes those critters. Okay, she earned the right to come upstairs. So I go upstairs to bed. It's a freezing cold night. It's winter. It's Canada. It's freezing. Fire's going. But now I'm upstairs where it's really cold because the furnace doesn't know that just because it's warm downstairs because there's a big wood stove doesn't mean it's warm upstairs. So I go upstairs. It's really, really cold. I decide I'm going to run a hot bath. I see my black cat, Xena, crying at the door. And I think, well, I'm not going to let you in and let the draft in. You're going to have to go around and use your other, you know, cat door in my daughter's room. Just go around. And she's perfectly capable of going around. But apparently, she chose not to go around. So I go into the bathroom. I run the bath. I get in the bath. It's all hot and steamy. It's wonderful. I come out of the bath. And Dorita, who's now seen me show her that you got to be nice to cats. So she's sitting in the bedroom and she sees this cat want to come in. So she went and opened the door for the cat. She opened it with the doorknob and the lever and pushed it. And it's not an easy door. It's cold here, so the doors kind of stick. So she probably had to throw her shoulder into it a little bit. Open the door. Cat comes in. I come out of the bath. The room is freezing. The door is wide open to the balcony where it's pouring rain that looks more like snow. And the two of them are sitting there on the bed like, and Dorita's proud of herself. See, I'm nice to the cat. I'm nice to the cat. Be careful what you wish for, everybody. All right, stay tuned. We'll talk about Maduro's pets after the break on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Real people, Real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I teased you a little bit with this. You probably looked it up, but it's not that easy to find. I had to look in a bunch of places to find out about this, so here we go. Nicholas Maduro has a few pets. Now, he has one called Jaco, or Jaco, I'm not sure the pronunciation. That's a male golden retriever who has fathered 3 puppies that he has. So he has... He's done a lot of publicity, showing himself the footage with the 3 fairly large dogs. They're as large as a small golden already in the footage, and a big, big, handsome male golden. So we don't know the names of the puppies, but Jaco is the name of the papa. And then also, he's done lots of media where he tried to encourage people to adopt a rescue cat. And so he adopted a stray cat, a black and white cat called Hugo, named after Hugo Chavez, of course. And but he did one good thing. He did launch this whole thing to try and protect abandoned animals, and made a big fuss over Hugo to try and encourage other people to do the same thing. So that's his pet connection. I don't think he'll be getting pet visitors in prison, unlike Ghislaine Maxwell, who apparently got to see a puppy, which is questionable, very questionable. Okay, so here's something interesting. I was telling you, I got to make a correction too. Okay, I'm going to make a correction. I was telling you a while ago about being in Florida and my father finding me and having this neighbor's dog with him, which is true. That did happen. But the story I was telling you was about a boy who I thought was named Hank because that's what my father called him. But the boy in question is now a man, and he lives in Ohio, and he wrote to me, and he said, that was me. My name is John, not Hank. Your father always called me Hank, but my name is John. And he said, that was me, and it was your own dog that found us. So I had to look back in the photo album, and I realized that the year that story happened, my parents had taken our standard poodle with us to Florida. Now, that was a difficult year because he was not prepared, the dog, for the Florida climate. He was a magnet for the fleas. He had no immunity to the different things down there. He spent the time in Florida in the air-conditioned house scratching, and we tried potions and preventatives and everything we could, bathing him and shaving him. And he just was miserable in Florida. It was not a good trip. We only took him the once. Needless to say, he never got to go again. And he was perfectly happy to stay in a kennel in Canada and not make the journey for a couple of weeks of holiday. But yeah, so that's the correction I had to make. Now, also a few shows ago, I was talking about wolves being seen on footage outsmarting these attempts to catch crabs. And they were able to pull in, use the human traps just like we would, to take the bait out of them, and sometimes take the crab out of them too. So the wolves were using human gear to fish, which I think is amazing. Now here's something else. There's one pack of wolves that has been seen using a live lamb that they captured from a herd, and then they use it to hunt sheep. They are able to stand behind it, and because it's so used to them and so calm, it throws off the herd, and it's improved their accuracy by 200%. I think that's amazing. Amazing what they can do. Yeah, beware of the wolf. All right, everybody. So I was out hiking, doing my thing, looking for chanterelle mushrooms, which are edible mushrooms that are like a vegetable. They're food. They don't make you hallucinate or anything like that. They're just a healthy food. And so I was out with my dogs. I'm on this super steep slope, and I'm climbing up, and I'm climbing up, and you know, I had this problem with my boots before, so my dog, my oldest dog, Dorita, keeps checking on me because she thinks I can't make it. Now I got my new boots, my new Merrell boots. They're awesome. My Moab Merrell boots. I'm so happy with them. They replaced my old Merrell boots, which the sole came completely off them, and I had them re-glued, and that didn't work, and they were so, so old, and they really didn't owe me anything, and I loved them so much, so I could barely break down and buy a new pair because I love my old ones so much. I'd repaired them for so, I think it's decades now. So I went and got a new pair and they're just awesome. But anyway, so my dog kept checking on me, making sure I could actually climb this really steep slope that's kind of soggy in places and difficult. And as I'm doing it, you know, a couple of the dogs are just running ahead and checking back on me every once in a while. And Dorita's checking on me a lot. And then there's Peachy. Peachy thinks this is great. And Peachy's like, oh, dear old golden doodle. And she's just so fun. Every day is just a peachy day for Peachy. And she sees the fact that I'm got my hands on the mountain and my legs on the mountain and I'm sort of crawling along it. She thinks I'm rolling. She thinks this is a good occasion to wrestle and cuddle and roll and slide down the slope. So she starts like rolling and playing with me, sliding down the slope, and then rights herself and jumps back up and does it again. It does it again. The worst. I'm trying to catch my footing. I'm grabbing onto trees. I'm in a place where I do not want to fall. And they just make it seem so easy. They're just so much better at this. It's like trying to swim with dolphins. They're just so much better at hiking than we are. It's like she's showing off, you know? And if I were to slide down that same place, I'd probably have like sticks sticking into my leg, rip my clothes. I might fall head over. I don't even know what would happen. But her, no problem. No problem. Rocking and rolling and snuggling and wrestling and goofing around on the side of a mountain, for gosh sakes. All right, so one tip I have for you, because someone asked me about this, they said, what do you do for your poodles and doodles when you have snow and they turn into snowballs? So, okay, what are they talking about? Oh, well, if you don't clip your dogs really short on the legs, which I actually do, but some of my customers don't. So if you have a Bichon or a poodle or even a really curly doodle and you don't, or Portuguese water dog even sometimes, and you don't clip that fur, especially like the knee down. But even if you got a short dog and the snow's deep, whatever's going to be walking through the snow, the undercarriage of the dog, the belly, you know, maybe all of it. If you don't clip it fairly short, if it's got long little curly cues, that's going to trap certain kinds of snow. And on the wrong kind of day, your dog will end up with little tiny snowballs trapped in the middle of its foot where it sweats, which hurts. It's like walking on a rock. It turns into a hard ice ball in the middle of all four paws, and then all over the toes, and then right up the foot. And then eventually, if it's running around a lot, the joints that need to move, it'll go right to the ankle and then a little higher up to the knees and then a little higher up to the shoulders. Until I used to have this Bichon that would come here, and she would start out looking great, and she'd run around the snow for a while, and then it was like she couldn't move. I'd have to pick her up. She'd be like a ball, like the Michelin man, like a big, giant ball, and put her inside and let her melt, and she'd all melt. Okay, but that's because back then, I didn't know of this trick. And the trick is, you take coconut oil, and you just smear it. You smear it on their feet. You smear it on the part you're worried about it. it getting all goopy. And it seems to work. So let me know. Let me know if that works for you with your dog. All right, everybody. I think I covered everything I teased you with. So next time we'll talk more on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. All right, everybody. Ciao, meow. And be good to your animals. From me, Deb Wolf, and Pet Life Radio.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.